You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Gastroenteritis Blues. I'm Steve Lippman. I'm with Emily Anderson and Dan Volpone. Dan is moving right now. He's on a movable bed. Dan, how are you doing? Are you getting seasick at all?
No, I feel great. This is very relaxing to me.
Can I say, when I was a kid, I really wanted a water bed.
Me too.
Seriously?
Yeah.
I think something about it sounded so cool to me that you would just sleep on water in a giant plastic thing, and I think in practice is probably not a good idea. Have you ever had one?
No. Huh. Wait, I have another question, since you're old like me, kind
Please.
Of.
What do you got?
Did you, when you were little, did you want to be a twin?
No. I have an older brother who's like 3 years older than me, so that probably, do you have siblings?
No.
Oh,
me so either.
But I think I wanted to be a twin because of Mary-Kate and Ashley, and I didn't know if it like crossed gender lines or not, or if it's only like girls of my age really wanted to be twins, but kids nowadays don't think it's as cool as I do.
So my Mary-Kate and Ashley was the little kid in Big Daddy, who was played by
Cole
two
and
twins.
Dylan Sprouse.
Yes,
yes.
They turned out
Sweet
to be
Life
famous.
Of Zach and Cody. Right. Yeah.
So that was my equivalent.
Gotcha. Yeah.
This is like talking about Casablanca around Dan, but
I've seen Big Daddy actually.
Do you love it?
Okay.
I don't remember it.
Great.
I was young.
Is that lemonade?
Yeah.
I could go for a lemonade.
It's from this little kid in my neighborhood. He makes lemonade and sells it at his house. And we had it at my bridal shower. So I had some leftover.
That's great. All right. Lots of stuff happened this week. When you go back and look, I figured like chronologically, we can talk through the week and all the way up until the Zaire Smith trade. Holy shit. Which just happened right before this podcast started. And it's so much happened. The first thing with the Sixers, Dan's asleep. The first thing with the Sixers angle that happened this week is that James Harden basically formally announced that he wants a trade or formally requested one. And Shams had that Harden wants to go to Brooklyn or Philadelphia. And then since then, there's been sort of conflicting stuff where at first, Tim McMahon had a source saying, like, we're willing to get uncomfortable in Houston. And, like, I think that's probably easier to say than do in terms of, like, having your two stars, like, not want to fucking be there and then come into training camp. I think nobody wants that. The Nets are the team that wants him and probably is his most preferred destination, but the most they can give is, like, Caris LeVert and Spencer Dinwiddie, who are like good players, but certainly not stars. And Harden is like a top five guy. And the Sixers have Ben Simmons. So this is like the whole question. To this point, Simmons is not on the table as far as we know. And it seems like Houston is sort of coming to terms with the fact that they're going to have to deal both of those guys. Tell me about your feelings around this whole James Harden thing, Emily.
Well, first, I'd like to thank James Harden for making me look like a real asshole, because last week I was like, there's no way he's actually going to leave Houston. Like, he said he wanted to be here. There's no way he's going to go back on his word. It'll make him look bad. And then he did it like 15 minutes later. Mm-hmm. So thank you, James Harden.
Yes.
I really don't think that he wants to come to the Sixers, to be honest. I don't really want him either. I don't want to give up Ben for him. I should say that. I don't want to give up Ben for him.
I do.
So that's a popular, I will say the fan base seems pretty split right now. A lot of people are being like, don't trade Ben. He's 24 and like for the last 2 years, we tried to surround him with like double agents trying to, you know, feed into his downfall. Dan, you are definitely on the other side. Tell me about why you want to do this deal. And also how much in addition to Simmons you would be willing to give.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a difference between what Emily's saying and the part of the fan base you're talking about, which is I think Emily doesn't want to give Ben because she likes Ben. Yeah. Not that it would be a dumb trade in a vacuum, whereas everyone else is saying they don't want to make the trade because they think that Ben is somehow more valuable than James Harden, which I think is absurd. Like, Ben is never going to be a top five guy. Harden's currently a top five guy. So you take, I mean, you could have, you know, 8 more years of the Sixers, you know, making the playoffs versus 5 more years of them making the playoffs with this current roster. But if in 3 of those 5 years they're contending versus 0 of those 8, give me the 3 years where you have an actual good chance to win a title with Harden and Embiid. I'm not really worried about the next 3 years where you're battling for the 8th seed. That's what we got away from in the first place. I'm not, you know, giving up a chance at a title to save, you know, a few extra years of, you know, getting like a 6-8 seed in the playoffs when Ben and Simmons are old after we waste their primes because we don't have the flexibility to put the pieces around them. So I think, you know, we've made helpful moves. They're not helpful enough. There's still going to be a lot of the same problems, in my opinion. And the Harden potential trade, even if it takes Ben and, you know, like you said, what else would I give? Maybe 2 firsts. I wouldn't start offering 2 firsts, but
right.
I would. And I think maybe I'm hoping that that's why they're not immediately saying, oh, we'll give Ben. Obviously, they wouldn't say that publicly, but you know what I'm saying. That's why the rumors are saying
you don't start from that. Ben. Right.
Right.
If you're Daryl and like, you're trying to trade for Harden, you don't start with your best asset.
Right. You start with, you know, Tobias and 8 picks, and then they say, that still sucks. And then you go to, okay, well, if we gave Ben, we don't want to give much else because you don't want to end up giving Ben 5 picks. I do think that's too much. But Ben straight up for Harden is, I think, a reasonable, like, opening offer. And then you have, you know, maybe you get talked into, you know, 2 firsts or, like, a first and a guy who was recently drafted like a Matisse. I'm totally fine with that. I think that's a fair package for Harden. I wouldn't want to go too much more, but I think that puts them in a position where they can genuinely be considered contenders, whereas I don't see that happening you know, with the current roster.
What a lot of the people against the potential mover, they talk about the sort of trading up 7 years in age, which you are doing. There's sort of no way around it. Harden is 31 and Simmons is 24. In terms of room to grow, I guess there's a lot more with Ben. Of course, Harden is worlds better than Ben right now. And yeah, I mean, it's what I really understand is like the emotional aspect of not of like, these are our guys in terms of like Simmons and Embiid and like just spending a full year being like, they're not the problem. Like, sure, I have some issues with Ben in terms of like refusing to shoot or get to the line, whatever, like, but defending them so much makes me want to like see that through to the end and like to have like a perfect thing where you loop it all the way around and Simmons is shooting and it all worked out. I feel like you kind of can't not trade for James Harden as long as you keep Joel Embiid. I wouldn't trade Embiid for anybody in the league. I emotionally, I am all the way there. Don't care. I know that it's wrong, like intellectually, but there's nobody that I would trade him for. I don't care if it's,
I mean, I know, think
name I think the what, name the young player. Go ahead.
That's the point, because like when you talk about, you know, we want to see this through, these are our guys. You know, that point was made when you didn't even have to give Ben and Embiid, right? So people were making that point at the thought of pursuing LeBron James in free agency 2 years ago. Like, that wouldn't be winning the right way.
Yeah, sure.
Which is kind of nonsense. So I think the not giving Ben or Embiid is maybe a bit much. Like, sometimes you have to have some movement, but I really do agree that like Embiid is our guy. And he is, if you give up Embiid, like, I'd love to win, so I can't say like I wouldn't, whatever, but like it's winning with a completely different team. Whereas if you change every other piece and Embiid's still here, you're winning with Embiid's team. And I believe that. Like, if you trade Embiid and keep Ben, it's not like you won with Ben's team. Ben can't be the best player. You're winning with someone else. I mean, if you got Harden, he's better than Embiid, so he's the best player, but it still feels like culturally this is Embiid's team. It's never been Ben's team.
Yeah, I mean, the prospect of, like, which move gets you closer to, like, Joel Embiid holding a championship trophy, which is, like, the coolest thing in the world. So, like,
yeah,
that part of me is, like, you sort of have to maximize. I mean, nobody knows what the window is for Embiid. Of course, I hope he plays forever, but that's a bit of a worry. But, Emily, I totally get where you're coming from. I mean, how do you think that if while we're recording this, we find out it's Harden for Simmons, like, how would that reconcile with you?
I would be really sad.
Yeah.
I just, it's like, goes back. And, like, I think part of me leans into the, like, age debate. Like, I'd rather, you know, build up the strong core for, like, an extended run. But I also see where what Dan is saying. Like, he'd rather have, like, a contender for 3 years than a playoff team for 8. Like, I get that. But I always think that, like, in one of those 8 years, everything could bounce our way, you know? Mm-hmm. And then we're a contender. Like, yeah. I still think if that stupid shot hadn't gone in, like, we could have won the title. Stupid Raptor shot. Like,
right.
It was like a team of destiny situation. And I think the universe owes us one.
You know, right now, Maury and I think Doc are saying all of the right things publicly. And you know, Maury talked after the draft, which we'll talk about, and said, like, when Simmons and Embiid have played together with, like, shooters who shoot quickly and guys who guard in the perimeter, those lineups are, like, monsters, you know, like, and they always were. And I do think that's real. Like, there was a giant sample size in, you know, sort of 2017 with Embiid and then 2018 and when they had Redick and all of those other guys. I definitely think that's real. I don't know, you know, Daryl has such a thing with Harden, and the two of them were so joined at the hip for like 8 years in Houston. I just sort of won't believe that Maury isn't trading for Harden until Harden gets traded somewhere else. Like, it just seems like Daryl loves him so much and has the one thing nobody else has. You know, there's nobody else that can match this sort of deal. You know, you could look around the league and talk about, you know, Jaylen Brown maybe, or Jamal Murray, but like Harden doesn't want to go to either of those places. Like, those offers won't get to the table because, like, Harden won't, you know, won't let them. Why would anybody offer a great young player like that unless they think Harden's going to be happy there? So we'll see. I think it's far from over. I mean, the Sixers have made moves now, and they certainly have made moves that would optimize Simmons and Embiid. I just would not be surprised, you know, sort of if that happens, but it would, the emotional part would certainly be bittersweet. And Dan, what do you think? What, if you had to guess what happens with Harden, what would you say?
I mean, I would guess they hold on to him. I just think
for the full year,
I think they hold on to him for a year, or at least into the season, maybe at the deadline, something happens. I think this kind of thing tends to, like, I think it has a chance to maybe fizzle out, and Harden's just like, whatever, I'm just going to play. And then they're decent, and he's too busy playing basketball to keep worrying about demanding any kind of trade. Like, he's not going to pull a Jimmy Butler and, like, throw a fit at practice.
Right.
And I mean, the other team that he's supposedly interested in, I don't think, even if the Nets offer Kyrie, I don't think that's, I would rather have Ben. I don't think that's, especially for a team that's going to have to rebuild, I don't think that's a super enticing package for a top five player.
Right.
For the other teams you mentioned, I don't think Jaylen Brown is all that great, honestly. I don't think that gets it done. I mean, Murray would be a good offer, but I think Denver likes what they have going there, mm-hmm. and he doesn't want to be there. So
right.
I think
nobody's offering those great young players unless they know he wants to go there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, I think if he moves, I think I could see it being to Philly. The thing that people have been saying is, like, Fertitta doesn't want to trade him to Morey because he's pissed at him. But, like, you can't justify taking that Nets package over Ben Simmons. It's just a terrible package with, like, fine players that I like. But if you put them in the same sentence as James Harden, I'm going to not like them so much anymore. So I think it's I don't think the Sixers deal happens necessarily right now, if I had to guess. And I think because of that, it just goes into the season.
Yeah, I mean, I just can't imagine Harden getting traded for that what the Nets have to offer, whether or not you include Kyrie, like, regardless. Like, that just seems like such an ego thing. If, let's say, if Simmons does get on the table and Tillman won't do that, that seems like such pettiness that is only going to do harm to your franchise, because like you could turn right away and be like, Ben Simmons is the guy, let's get four shooters and like be an incredibly fun team. And you know, they would be. And so we'll see, you know, we'll keep an eye on it. We're reaching out to our sources and we'll just see what kind of whispers we get around the league.
Our sources are Scoopy.
Scoopy, love him, love him. He had a big draft night. And next up, on to draft night. But before the draft, this was at, you know, in the evening, maybe around 5 o'clock. I think Woj had it that Al Horford got traded, friends. Al Horford got traded with a 2025 first and number and the 36th pick in the draft in the second round for Danny Green and Terrence Ferguson, who I don't think is going to stick around or play at all. What was your immediate reaction? Where were you? Will you always remember where you were when you found out that Al Horford got traded, Emily?
I know exactly where I was. I had just pulled into my parking spot on my street. Mm-hmm. And I was coming home from work. So it was probably around 5:15, 5:30. Like you said, that's what time I normally get home. And yeah, I saw it come up. And I had just said to my friend that day at work that Al needed to be traded that night, that I would trade him for a hot dog. And I was happy because I think Danny Green is worth more than a hot dog. So I'm very happy with the trade.
Yeah. Dan, what about you?
Yeah, my first reaction was to be a little bit annoyed, honestly, which I think was probably misguided. The fact that OKC was willing to take on that Horford contract, which rumors had said they weren't, mm-hmm. just tells me that the Sixers should have done whatever it took to get Chris Paul, like I've been saying forever. Sure. If they have something in the works for Harden, it's understandable to not get Paul since they hate each other. And plus, you know, Paul had said he wanted to be in Phoenix, so if there's any truth to that, and, you know, OKC wanted to do right by him after, you know, turning himself into a positive asset for them and,
right.
and dragging them to the playoffs, then it seems like it just wasn't really on the table. So, you know, after, you know, for the first time in a long time, I stopped thinking about Chris Paul. I finally, you know, I came around to it. I think it's fine. You lose your ability to, you know, salary match a big name, but like Horford wasn't going to get that done anyway. So that was like a Paul only pipe dream. So once that's out of the picture, yeah, Danny Green's a fine player. It's a 2025 first. And like Steve pointed out, like, well, climate change will have killed us by then anyway. And, you know, this should be good for Embiid. You know, he should feel like they're finally prioritizing him after an offseason of not doing so. So I think overall, there's a lot of reasons to be happy about this.
Yeah, we've been talking for a while. Like, I just didn't think there was any way you can go back into the season with Al Horford on the team. Like, I just thought that Embiid would be like, no fucking chance. Like, I just, you know, devoting that much of your salary cap to a guy that plays the same position poorly, you know, and can't play with your two best players is like sort of a nightmare. Danny Green's a good shooter and a good defender, and he's going to play for them. I would imagine he's going to start for them. He had a bad finals, and I know Lakers fans got very annoyed with him. I love guys who have bad finals. I think it's really charming. I don't know. I just, you know, new quirk about me. I don't know. Danny Green, he'll be fine. Only attaching one first rounder to him, I think, is a good thing, especially considering the size of his contract and the level of play that he just had. 2025, yes, unless we're all dead, I do think that Daryl can just sort of pick up a different 2025 first somewhere if he wants a pick that year. Like, I just feel like they can work that out. And I'm not super worried that, like, oh my God, the Sixers might be bad then. It's like, we love it when the Sixers are bad. That's, you know, come on. So that was it. Then the draft started. The three of us were part of the Liberty Ballers live stream thing. That was, we watched the draft live, and I drank wine, and then I had a headache. And the draft board really, really shook out well for the Sixers. A lot of centers got drafted sort of in the late teens that allowed Tyrese Maxey to land at 21, where the Sixers took him. He's a guard, 6'3", from Kentucky. He just played his freshman season there. Very good looking. He's got a nice build on him, cool hair. And also, like, so many draft people that it seems that we like and respect had him in, like, their top 10 and are just sort of very excited that the Sixers were able to get somebody like Maxey. What was your immediate reaction, Dan?
Yeah, I'm actually kind of an expert on Tyrese Maxey because I watched 20 minutes of highlights this morning, and he looked great in his highlights, I have to say.
He didn't miss.
He did not miss a shot. I was very excited at the time because, you know, we've been talking to people who know what they're talking about and they loved him. And you know, the more as I watch him play, still don't know a lot about what he doesn't do well because I watched highlights. But the things he does well seem to be things that we could really use. He scores from three levels, so I know he didn't shoot a great percentage in college, but no one seems to be too worried about that. His form looks fairly nice from three, and he is really nice around the rim, and he has great touch from mid-range. So whether it's a mid-range pull-up or he shoots a ton of floaters, that's clearly what he's most comfortable with. You know, he's not super tall, so that maybe is not a great fit right away, but you know, he's clearly has great touch. He'll figure out a way around, around that as mm-hmm. as you know, everyone has to do when they get to the pros, and things are a little bit different. But I think as a scorer, he's going to provide a lot of what we need, and he's not a minus on defense by any means. He's, you know, very aggressive, getting over screens, and he makes some nice plays on some lazy passes. So I think he's just like a fun player. Like, he was, I guess highlights are usually fun, but you know, like Al Horford highlights wouldn't be fun. So
no,
Tyrese Maxey had fun highlights, if that makes sense. So yeah. I'm excited about it. I think it's awesome.
Me too. Emily, what do you think?
Yeah, same. When we drafted him, I was happy because I don't really know anything about college basketball, but he was a name that I had recognized. So I was like, this has to be good. And then since then, I have discovered that he likes dogs.
Mm.
So that is very important to me. So I'm all in.
This?
On his Instagram story, he was awesome. With the dog, and he looked sad because I think he was saying goodbye to the dog. So that
did he talk about his crying? I thought that was adorable.
Oh, it was adorable.
Yeah, he got very emotional.
I love a good emotional draft night situation.
Yeah,
and he said, "You won't regret it. He won't regret. We won't regret picking him, and I don't think we will." So
yeah,
let's hope not.
It was fun during the during the live stream because Daniel Olinger of the Talking About podcast had so much real, like, thoughts and comparisons and real grades, and we were in there having a good time. Dan was holding up a hand.
I just wanted to talk about suits.
Yes, we were talking about turtlenecks. I said that I really like Tyrese Maxey's outfit, and that seems like the only thing everybody is shitting on him for.
I didn't like it.
People hated his gray suit, and I was like, great, well, forget it.
I liked the one guy, this is not related to the Sixers, but I didn't get to say it on the live stream. He was wearing a turtleneck, but it went like right into his beard, and they were both blacks, like the turtleneck and his hair. So it looked like it like covered the turtleneck went up to like his mouth. Wow. And that was a really interesting turn, but they were like deep into like real numbers and like stats. And I was like, this is not the time for a turtleneck talk.
Well, I really want to figure out who that was, who had the.
I'll find the picture.
Beard. Yeah, find the picture.
It's important.
Okay. So after Maxey got drafted by the Sixers, which I think everybody's pretty excited about, it's getting to be the end of the first round, and a trade comes out that the Sixers have traded Josh Richardson and the 34th pick that's in the second round for Seth Curry of the Dallas Mavericks. Seth Curry, of course, is Doc Rivers' son-in-law, which is a bit strange. He's a great shooter. He's like a legit elite catch-and-shoot guy, and he can also dribble into shots. And I've heard that he's not like a zero on defense like people might expect him to be. And just like putting an elite shooter with Simmons and Embiid makes a ton of sense, especially all the dribble handoff stuff that Embiid loved to do with Redick. And I think that's great. I mean, Josh is somebody that I liked personally, but I just didn't really see much of a place for him on the team going forward. And this seems like fine value to get Seth Curry, who, by the way, has three more years on his contract at only like $8 million. It's a great contract for a guy who's going to play like 30 minutes a night for them. Emily, what did you think of that trade?
Yeah, I've said it on here that I do like Josh, but I'm like more happy for him to get into a situation where I think that his skill set will really like shine. Like, I think that he'll be really fun down there.
They're going to love him in Dallas. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like just happy for him for that. And I'm excited to get Seth Curry, to get a good shooter. I also am like really love the whole Curry family. Like, I really hope Dell is at some games and stuff. That would be fun.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I got that notification as I was trying to go to sleep, and then I was like, oh, this is happening. I have to stay up.
Oh, that was after you had left. Okay, so that was when Emily left early because she doesn't like us, and that was it. Dan, what did you think of the trade?
Yeah, I mean, I think Josh Richardson is a cool guy. You know, I can't stand watching him play basketball, so I'm glad he's gone. I know he's considered kind of the better all-around player than Seth Curry by a lot of people, but Curry's obviously a better fit. And, you know, to give up the second-round pick in it kind of hurts a little bit, but it is what it is. I mean, it's a second-round pick. It's not a big deal. I'd rather make the move to get the fit. It'll be nice to watch someone who's able to, like, kind of dribble and make shots again and, like, really make shots. So I think, you know, the two moves to get shooting, like, in the two trades they made were a good use of the picks in the early 30s. You know, and now you have guys who you know can shoot it at the pro level. So I can't really complain about it too much.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the reason that you end up seeing it's like Richardson and a pick rather than Seth and a pick is their contracts. Like Richardson is on essentially an expiring where he can opt out of his player option next season and sign a long-term deal anywhere. And Seth is under team control for three more years. So I think that
makes sense.
That's really why you see, even though one might be the better player, even though I'm sort of actually skeptical of that, I think that that's why you see that. On to the Sixers, two second-round picks that they made. They took Isaiah Joe at 49, and they took Paul Reed at 58. We can talk about both of these guys together. Isaiah Joe from Arkansas, he's 6'5". He's a really good shooter. He shot like 10 threes a game last season for Arkansas and just seems like a sort of no conscience shooter. He was the guy that people say the Sixers promised which is funny that they did that. He, on August 1st, he withdrew from the draft or said that he was going to withdraw from the draft. And then 2 weeks later, he was like, I am back in the draft. And people were all like, okay, definitely when he said he was withdrawing, old Scotty O'Neill reached out and was like, how would you like to be on a pamphlet in Philadelphia? And so, yeah, I'm happy. I was worried that they promised him 21 and we're going to draft him then, which would have been a real misuse of resources, but I'm happy he was still there in the late 40s and he'll be a guy. My guess is that he and Furkan will sort of go back and forth on who's going to play that catch and shoot role, but you know, they have Furkan this year on another very cheap deal. So Paul Reed is like a defensive toolsy guy that John Hollinger of The Athletic loves. I think that he's going to be on a two-way and probably will just be like a fun celebration guy for the year, which I love. Dan, what did you think of those two?
Yeah, I like the Joe pick. I like the idea that we were terrified they were going to take him earlier, and then they got him like way later. Like we were thinking, like hopefully they don't take him at 21. Hopefully they take him in the early 30s.
Right.
And they ended up getting him at 49. You know, I also like that, like you mentioned, like he's just a no conscience shooter, so people can stop using that as an excuse for why we need Mike Scott on the team when we clearly don't. Another guy I can't stand watching on the Sixers. Another cool guy who I don't want to watch play basketball ever again. And, you know, I think that he seems like a fun player. I know a lot of people like him as a player, just as like as someone who they like enjoy to watch, because he'll just like shoot from anywhere whenever, which, you know, fine. Put him in the game and see what he can do when you need a spark. I don't care. That sounds good. At 49, it's, you know, worth it. And then I know a lot of people wanted Killian Tilly at the pick they took Paul Reed at. He ended up going undrafted, and then it would have been nice to grab him as an undrafted free agent. He seemed like a guy who could maybe fit a little bit of what the Sixers could use off the bench as like a stretch four a little bit. But Reed, you know, he seems like, you know what he's good at, so he's not going to be any kind of surprise, and maybe he'll be like an analytics darling.
He seems sort of like Jeremy. If you watch his highlights, he's very like long arms.
I feel like he's athletic. Like a Jordan Bell type.
Ooh, interesting. Yeah.
That's like that's the vibe I'm getting from like a guy who is just like, you know, put up all the defensive stats in college and then they're like, you know, let's see what he can do.
Right.
But yeah, if he's definitely just going to be a guy who's like occasionally on the end of the bench who's not going to play a ton. And hopefully he's good at that. I need to see how he goes about, you know, once they're allowing fans back in, I want to know you know, his proficiency at the Chick-fil-A thing or the
Frosty
or the Wendy's thing.
The frosty freeze out.
Come on, Dan.
Emily, I don't go to the games. Like, I'm not like you. Like, I wish I was.
Emily, what did you think of those two guys?
Yeah, I was happy. Like I said, we were all, like you guys said, I was glad that they were able to get Isaiah Joe later and they didn't have to like burn a good pick on him. Also has two first names, so that's something to keep an eye on.
And Joe and Joel is something.
Yeah, I'm not. Oh, that's interesting. So
thank you.
I don't know if you can necessarily be trusted. I tend to be wary of people with two first names, but that's that. The other
Paul Reed has two first names.
Also kind of two first names. He also has a great Instagram handle, which I think is really funny because it rhymes. So I like him a lot.
Wait, what is his Instagram handle?
It's like B-Ball Paul.
Oh, that's
which
fun.
Which I just think is fun.
That's fun.
And since we're getting rid of – I'm happy to have him, like, on the bench since we're getting rid of two of our big, like, bench hype people.
Right.
We need some people to fill in the role. So I'm happy to have them.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out. Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
Yeah, so that goes right into the Sixers after the draft over the next day or so. They waived Norvell Pelle and Mariel Shayok. Norvell, famous for taking a picture with Emily once. Emily, what do you think about this? What was Norvell like when you took a picture of him? And what are your feelings on these two waves?
I'm really sad about Norvell and Shayok, for that matter. I just like to like watch guys that we had in like the, what are they called? The blue coats, the 87ers, and then see them come up. Norvell's like 28. Like he's
so old.
It's fine wild. That we waved him. He's real old, but like, he just looks like so much fun. And he's like so lanky. He always reminds me of those like things at the car dealership that like blow in the wind. Like that's how I think of his, like that's how he's built. And I'm just going to miss him. Hopefully they have success at whatever is next in their life.
Yeah, Norvell seems pretty beloved by everybody, but we'll get to his replacement soon. But Dan, what did you think about Shayok and Norvell leaving the Sixers?
Yeah, I mean, I feel bad for them for like the reasons Emily said, like, you know, they've been around for a while, like they both suck. So if they were on the team next year, it'd be a disaster. Like you need real players on the team. I'm sorry. Like I'm glad they're gone. I feel bad for them, but they seem like fine as people. Norvell was always fun in a few minutes. But, like when they ever actually had to lead on him, it was a disaster. And it's good they're gone.
Shayok was very slow. Shayok was particularly particularly slow, and I
he also just didn't shoot well in any real game.
No, but someday. Okay. The next thing, there's a person that I have to go to one of my bookmarks because I have Bodner's tweet. The Sixers will sign guard Dakota Mathias on a two-way contract. Emily, I know you know a lot about him. Mathias, 25. He played for the Texas Legends last year, of course, the Mavs G League affiliate, where he averaged 18 points, 3 assists a game. He shot 39.5% on 9 three-point attempts per game. So he sounds, I mean, you can literally just take 18 points from there, put him on the Sixers. It's great. Do you guys know who Dakota Mathias is and what do you think about him? Nope. Great. Moving on. welcome to the Sixers, Dakota Mathias.
Then on the podcast.
So as free yes. agency, as we should get him, we could definitely get him. I actually don't want him.
Couldn't even get Brokoff.
Brokoff won't talk to me. He does
is
that.
Is he still on the Sixers?
No, he's
no. He also hasn't answered our DMs.
We have to talk about this when we get to like the most likely game, but there's a lot changing in the most likely game. For me personally, as things were leading up to free agency, there was lots of whispers about the Sixers signing Nerlens Noel, who I just love. I loved him so much when he was a Sixer. And then free agency starts, and it's like 8 o'clock, and the Sixers sign Dwight Howard. And that's wild. Dwight obviously is incredibly well known. He used to be an MVP candidate. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. He basically every team he was on hated him until he was with the Lakers last year, where he was just on his best behavior and played really, really well as a backup center. It's a veteran minimum. And what do you guys think of Dwight Howard? What was your initial reaction, Dan?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I never talked myself into Nerlens being a real possibility, so I was happy about it. Of course, I would love to see Nerlens back, but the Dwight Howard signing is great value. I mean, to get him on the minimum is I mean, like you said, he was a really effective role player last year, so to get him on the minimum is a great deal. And I love that it came out later that Embiid helped recruit him. So, you know, we're like keeping Embiid in the loop on our decisions this year, as opposed to being like, what would he want to do? Let's do the opposite. That's a really nice turn besides what you're getting on the court.
Yeah. Emily, you have some breaking news, and then I'd love to hear your thoughts on Dwight Howard.
So I was doing some recon. I know earlier I was talking about NBA draft suits and about this man that his turtleneck crept into his beard. And embarrassingly enough, that man is in fact one two first named Isaiah Joe. So if you look at his Instagram, there's a beautiful picture of him and his family. And it looks like he has a really high turtleneck on. But in fact, that's a turtleneck and then his beard. But it's embarrassing that it was one of our own.
People were listening to this podcast when you're talking about the neck turtleneck thing, going, it was Isaiah like, Joe.
I know.
And we're not editing that out. We leave
no chance. I don't know how to edit.
No, of course.
We don't know.
I don't expect anything less. But so I'll take that one. Slap on the wrist for me.
Yeah.
But really, it's really, right? Did you look at the picture? It looks like
it does look like an optical illusion. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm excited to re-rank our handsome Sixers because I think Isaiah Next Joe week. Is beautiful.
Yeah. He is very handsome.
He's a very handsome man.
Tobias to me, though, to be honest with you.
You know,
Emily.
Call me
crazy. He's handsome too.
He is handsome. Call me crazy here. Like, but when in our first episode ever, we ranked our top five most handsome Sixers. Mm-hmm. Am I nuts or do we need to rank every single Sixer from least to most handsome?
Probably.
I'm trying to get rid of all of our listeners. That's the main thing. It's like, I don't want anybody.
Three individual lists, or should we like aggregate all of our scores and then come up with like one master list? I'm willing to do the math on it.
Oh, really? If you know how to do that, then I'm down.
Yeah, you guys just have to rank them and send them to me.
All right.
There's like five people out there who just love this content, and then everyone else is like, can you please talk about the team?
I know.
Yeah.
You can tell.
You can really tell. You know what? There's a lot of other podcasts on the same feed that you can hear about the team. This is not the one. Yeah. Emily, what did you think of Dwight Howard?
Right, Dwight Howard. I think it's absolutely hysterical. Like, my first reaction was to laugh out loud. I just think it's the silliest thing I've ever heard, but I'm also so excited for it. I just don't know what to expect. He like played well in LA and like seemed to grow up a little bit, but like who knows why? Does he respect Doc Rivers? We don't know. Like, it'll just be a fun experiment and I'm ready for it.
Yeah. I mean, he's clearly can be a really good defender and a really good rebounder if he commits. And I just hope that he's not an issue, and I would trust that they would just cut him if he was an issue. You know, he was on his best behavior in LA, and LA is LeBron's team, so that probably has a lot to do with it. The coolest part about it to me is that Embiid wanted him and reached out to him and got him. So that's cool. Now, right before we started recording this podcast, Zaire Smith got traded for Tony Bradley, who's a person who plays in the NBA. So he's the center, and Zaire got traded. There, some friends of ours seem upset on social media that they traded Zaire for Tony Bradley, whom they perceive to have less value than Zaire. I can't imagine, Zaire's draft stock was high. He was drafted 16th, but then he basically didn't play for 2 years, and it seemed pretty clear that his path to minutes got really tough when the Sixers got Danny Green and Seth Curry. I sort of would rather just, if neither of these people are going to play, I'd rather keep Zaire around. But I know the Sixers want to have three centers for days that Embiid sits. I sort of don't care. Emily, what do you think?
I'm going to miss using Zaire in the most likely game since he's now off the table. So I'm really hoping that Tony Bradley has some type of food allergy that we can exploit. not life-threatening, of course. I don't wish anything serious on anybody. But we're a team that loves to have a bazillion centers and a bunch of people that play the same position. So why not? Like, let's do it. Yeah. I was never a big Zaire, obsessed person.
Got it.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. I was never, in love with Zaire either. And I think I saw Sixers Adam pointing out, what you call him, by the way? He's a nice boy or something.
Oh, he's a sweet boy.
Sweet boy. He's a Sixers Adam sweet boy.
Yeah.
He had pointed out that Bradley can be traded for a higher salary than Zaire can.
Right.
So if they have someone in mind that they're going after, Bradley might be more of a middleman. So I think, we should keep our eye on that because that seems possible. I don't think he's particularly good. So I'm not sure why they want to have him around unless it's to try to trade him.
Right. What they can't do is aggregate his salary with Mike Scott. So that's something they can't do. The other thing,
they can make it a three-team deal later.
Correct. They can make it a three-team deal later. The other thing, the Horford trade is not official yet. There are still, I feel like, trades that need to happen for OKC that they're still in the middle of. OKC just got George Hill too officially, and I would love him on the Sixers. I think he would help a lot. So that's something to keep an eye out for. Moving on, Tobias Harris got engaged. It looked like a very sweet, wonderful setup. And he seems extremely happy, and so does his new fiance. It seems super cool, and I'm happy for them both. Anybody unhappy for them?
Dan?
Dan is nodding.
I shook my head. I'm happy for Tobias. He's a nice guy. I don't like him at basketball.
Yeah. Emily.
He's a good guy.
It was you say nice proposal. This proposal has millions of rose petals involved with it.
Yeah.
It's really something. They look really happy. They look to be on a cliff of some sort. There's a lot of candles. They look to have had a private dinner afterward. There's obviously a professional photographer.
Mm-hmm.
She's very beautiful. He's very handsome.
Was this similar to your proposal, Emily? That's my question.
In the way that we were both extremely happy after the proposal, yes. In the number of rose petals, no.
Got it.
We also had dinner, Tobias and his fiance.
Was it a public proposal?
A little. We got engaged at the singing fountain in Passyunk. So,
cool.
Yeah, so it was a little public, and
that's awesome.
We were just as happy as Tobias and his fiance, though. So in that way, it was the same.
Great. Well, congratulations to both couples here from the guest room. All right, now to the real big news of the week. We have to play the most likely game, and we've got a lot of moving parts, guys. Yeah, all right, out. I'm sorry, Ryan Brokhoff is out. We gave him 6 months to respond to our DM. He has not. Sorry.
Wait, but is he really on the team still or not?
He's not taking up a run. Yeah, he hasn't been for months. Yeah.
That would have been my first question for him if he came on.
Yeah, right. Are you on the Sixers right now? Zaire Smith out. One of our favorite things because we, make anything related to his injuries or his allergies. Out is Al Horford, who we used to give all the bad shit to. He's gone. Mario Shayok, he got a few along the way. Norvell Pell, I feel like I said that he was into freaky stuff, which I still stand by.
Josh Richardson out. Josh
Richardson out. Now, coming in, we have some exciting possibilities. Tyrese Maxey, Isaiah Joe. Paul Reed just might be the broke-off of it all. And for now, you can use Tony Bradley. You know, I know, how excited are you? Dwight Howard is definitely going to sort of rule these games, I feel like. But let's not wait any longer. It's time for the most likely game. I wrote this question before Zaire gotten traded, and I thought all that matters is who's going to go first, because they'll choose Zaire, and I'll say it's their point. Which Sixer, like Andrew Bynum, is most likely to injure themselves bowling? The first question, heads or tails, Dan?
Heads.
Tails. Emily, go ahead.
Okay. Oh, also, Howell Netto, no longer a Sixer, off the board. I forgot. Forgot to mention that.
Howell
one.
Netto signed with Washington.
Yeah, oh, and Alec Burks.
Alec Burks, wow.
Oh, my God, there's no one left.
Alec Burks signed with the Knicks, yeah.
Also, GR3 is a free agent.
Might stick around. He hates it here.
Yeah, until he gets a new team, we claim him.
Right.
I'm yelling, sorry. Okay, who is going to get her bowling? That is the question. See, and now I'm looking at an old roster, and that's making it hard. I need to, like, use my brain.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait, ESPN has a new roster. This is beautiful. Okay, give me it. Just want to say Ryan Brokoff on the ESPN roster.
Oh, my God.
And Terrence Ferguson. So he's on. I think he's still on the table.
All right, I'll give you one more episode of Brokoff.
Yes. All right. I'm going to go with Danny Green, because I feel like Dwight Howard is the easy answer, and I want to save him for later. So I'm going to go Danny Green because he's the new old, and he is more likely to have brittle bones that he would then injure at a bowling alley.
Dan, how do you respond?
I'll give you a guy with brittle bones. His name is Joel Embiid. two-time broken foot. I mean, that's if you could drop the bowling ball on your foot,
or you this could is a dark timeline, Dan.
Or you could plant your foot in a way where everything just snaps. And Joel Embiid, listen,
I didn't want to go to this place tonight.
But you know, remember when they like he had like his torn meniscus and he was like jumping around on the stage dancing and like the Colangelo burner was furious.
Yeah.
Like this could be the new version of that. Like he hurts himself in a stupid way.
Oh, that'd be awful. Like,
and it's just like the center who was like the man of our hopes and dreams is just like ruined because has a bowling injury. I think it's a perfect parallel.
Yeah, I hated that answer. I do have to give it to you though because of the likelihood. If the question is most likely, sadly, that is most likely. 1-0 Dan.
Okay with losing that point because that was just a really dark answer and I'm not willing to go to that place tonight, Dan. So.
Emily, let's not get into back and forths here. Let's all say, come on, let's stay sportsmanship. Which Sixer, this question goes to Dan first. Which Sixer is most likely to run for mayor of Philadelphia?
All right, mayor of Philadelphia has to be someone we like. I think anyone would be better than the person who's currently mayor. So we have to get that out of the
I did
way.
Not say win the race for mayor of Philadelphia. It is just run for mayor of Philadelphia.
Okay. So we're talking about like a publicity stunt from someone who also wants to live here. So like, I don't think it'd be anyone making a lot of money, right? Like someone who has to get the publicity is maybe not making as much money, but they love Philly and they want to stay here. So I'm going to say Mike Scott, you know, like he's not crazy rich. He's not like Joel. So it's not like Joel has like he could do it, but he has so much money. It doesn't even matter. Right. Like Mike Scott might want some like promotions or stuff. He runs on like a bunch of like non even political popular issues. Like, hey, like let's make like good food around the city. I don't know. And then, you know, let's or something like let's give out free beers or something. Like no one's going to argue with that. You know, he's not even being serious. He's not going to win. But he is not from here, but he's going to live here now. Even if he, like, retires after playing for another team, he's going to come back because of, like, how much the fans love him. And, you know, he wants to, like, stay on people's radar, so he keeps getting, like, you know, TV deals and stuff. So now it's Mike Scott.
Emily, what do you say?
I'm just laughing at Dan, like, he's just getting increasingly more chill as he, like, puts that bed back and he's, like, talking with his head, like, back and his eyes closed.
Like, it's I like think therapy, he's, yeah.
I'm really comfortable.
He's just, like, going on and on
right,
about
it. Let's take this
God.
Seriously.
It's fine. It's fine.
Here we
this
go.
Is a good answer. I thought about that, but.
Thank you, Emily.
I'm going to go with Matisse because he recently, if you've been watching his social media situation and his YouTube videos, he's really taken it upon himself. He wants to get more serious. He wants to like do something with his platform. He was really instrumental in getting, well, not instrumental, but he really wanted, you know, push people to get out and vote. He was visiting polling places in the city, the place where I voted, actually, but we weren't there at the same time, which would have been really cool. And I think that he likes it here. He seems to like Philadelphia, and I think he would like to, you know, do his civic duty here. So, same with you.
I will say, I really thought that Scott was going to be the answer because he's such a man of the people. But when you talk about Matisse's sort of social initiatives lately, I'm gonna give it to Matisse. So Emily gets that question. It's 1-1. Moving on, Emily gets this one first. Which this is two. This is a 2-for-1. Which two Sixers are most likely to fall in love with each other?
With each other. Ooh, okay.
Isn't it like a romantic way?
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Let's see. Can't be Seth Curry. He's married to Doc's daughter. That would get iffy.
What if he fell in love with Doc? Now we're talking.
It didn't stop Paul George.
What did you say?
I said it didn't stop Paul George.
What did he do?
Yeah, well, they weren't married, but he cheated on Doc's other daughter, I think.
What?
Doc has the same daughter. That's married. I think it's like I thought it was pre-marriage.
Okay, maybe it's the same daughter then. Okay.
I don't know anything about that.
It's a lot to keep track of.
It is a lot. Okay, they're going to fall in love. I would have said Matisse and Tobias, so that's super obvious. So I'm going to go with... I'm going to go with Shake Milton and Ben Simmons. I don't really have a reason why. Besides, I'm just looking at their pictures, and they're both handsome. They're the same age. And I think that they would get along. So I'm going to go with those two. I don't really have a better answer. Though.
Dan?
I think it's Matisse and Furkan.
Because
Furkan, you know, I think he wants to be like Matisse. He really likes him and wants to get his attention. You know, like he's like, I'm going to make videos too.
Yeah, he tried doing those videos.
Yeah, it's videos. So I think that they'd be cute together. Like they're both, they seem like, you know, really like generally like good guys, like people you'd want to hang out with. So like, I feel like, you know, who wouldn't love either of them? You know, why wouldn't they love each other if I love both of them?
That one goes to Dan. It's a good answer.
I have to say Dan just used my reasoning why Matisse and Furkan hate each other as a reason why they love each other. It won both questions, I'm pretty sure. So
hate and love is just a fine line, Emily.
I think
it is a fine line.
That question, I think I said like Neto and Shayok fucking hate each other for no reason and like just one of them finds the other rude, something like that. That was a good one.
No, they're not here. Neither of them are here.
See, kiss of death. 2-1, Dan. Dan gets to go first on this question. Which Sixer is most likely to take a gap year from the Sixers to find himself? Zaire, of course, is no longer eligible to be at the answer to this question.
Take a gap year from the Sixers to find himself. All right. People won't like this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Ben Simmons. All right. He's, for a while, struggled with his fit here. Who knows if that'll be fixed? Because Tobias kind of, you know, has a similar... Not he doesn't play a similar style, but like they need similar lineups around them, I feel like, with Joel. And so that kind of, you know, when they put him together kind of takes away from Ben a little bit. You know, Ben struggled when Jimmy was here, when he wasn't the primary guy on the ball, especially through the playoffs. So I think even though he didn't do it then, like if he has another issue, he might say, hey, give me a year. I think he's like a chill guy, but he's kind of like a thoughtful guy. So like he might just like meditate a lot. And then, you know, I think it would also make for like good television. Like if maybe he's like, well, maybe I'll see if I want to like get more involved in like, I know he's not with Kendall Jenner anymore, but like he could give that another shot and like actually be on the TV like Jay Cutler did before he divorced Kristen Cavallari. So I think wow. I could see Ben in that role. I think, you know, that's what he's going to do. He's going to take a year off and he's going to say, hey, if the Sixers, you know, if the Sixers are going to make Joel the guy they care about now, then I'm going to go be on television and think a lot.
Emily, how do you respond?
All right. That's a good answer. I'm going to go with Ryan Brokaw just because we don't even know if he's on the Sixers right now. So taking a gap year from them would be of little consequence to my life and to his life.
That implies that it's likely he comes back after this.
That's the winning answer. It's 2-2.
I needed to tie it up.
We go into the fifth game. Emily played the Brokaw card. It's just sometimes you have to do it. Okay, which Sixer, this goes to Emily first, which Sixer is most likely to wish Al Horford was still on the team?
Ooh.
Gross.
Wow. I'm going to say this is the wrong answer, but I'm going to say the few times a year that Joel Embiid has to play him, it's going to be Joel Embiid.
Oh.
Because when Joel played Al when he was on the Celtics, it never went well. So I think those times a year, the only time anyone is going to wish Al Horford was still on the team will be Joel when he has to go against him those few times a season.
It's an interesting angle. Dan?
First of all, I'm offended by that answer.
Second, your first answer was Embiid dropping a bowling ball on his leg and never playing again. So
yeah.
Take it easy.
Yeah, that's a good point. Anyway, so I think that the right answer, since you said he still counts, is Glenn Robinson III. I think they talked a lot about how much they hated it here. And now that Al's gone, GR3 will have no one to talk about. No one to talk with about how much he hates it here, and he'll just be like stuck here as the only one who hates it here, and he'll be like, I really wish I could talk to someone about this, but no one else hates it here. Al doesn't even have to hide that he reached for the Celtics anymore because no one cares if the Thunder win. So Al is just like, I'm happy to be out of Philly. Al's whole family says he's happy to be out of Philly, and GR3 still has to put a face on. So I think it's just a bad deal for Glenn Robinson because he's losing his buddy that he complained with.
So in this situation, GR3 re-signs in Philadelphia.
And even still, though
he hates it here, but maybe they made him the best offer, but he really doesn't want to be here.
Watch they max him. They max him with bird rights, and he's like, oh, I fucking can't stand it. Which one wins that one? I will say... Emily wins that one.
Oh,
and Embiid angle was an interesting angle. All right.
That's a bummer.
Dan gets the first one. It's 3-2. Emily can close him out here. Which Sixer is most likely to know who Dakota Mathias is?
Huh, okay. Well, let's look at where they went to college.
Me and Dan both just Googled that person. I just want to point it out.
Yes, absolutely. But Dakota Mathias went to Purdue. So that's in the Big Ten. Glenn Robinson III was in the Big Ten, but I just used him. But he's the only one in the Big Ten. So I'm going to say Glenn Robinson III again. Oof. Maybe I'll win with him this time. No one else would have ever known who he is. No one else would care. Can I change it? I'm changing my mind.
Hang on.
No, I'm not changing my mind. I'm sticking with it. Glenn Robinson III pays attention to Purdue basketball because they play Michigan sometimes. And they're in the Big Ten. Yeah, they're both Big Ten schools. And because of that, Glenn Robinson knows who he is, even though he doesn't matter to Glenn Robinson at all.
All right. Dan tried to change his answer and then recanted that. We'll see how that plays out in the courts. Emily, what is your answer?
I am going to say... Oh, this is hard. I don't know. None of them, probably. I'm going to say I would like to use one of the new guys. So I'm going to say Paul Reed. Because when he went to school in what, DePaul, in Indiana, which is near Ohio.
DePaul's in Ohio? That's crazy.
What? Isn't DePaul in Indiana?
Oh, well, Purdue's in Indiana.
I don't know. I'm just going to go with Paul Reed.
I need to look at where DePaul is.
I just did. It is in Chicago, Illinois.
It's in Illinois.
It's in Illinois. Sadly, that answer has to go to Dan. So now it's 3-3 going to the seventh question. Dan, can
both
I
great
just
answers,
ask,
though.
Why did you think you wanted to take it back?
Well, I was thinking that maybe it'd be Mike Scott, because Mike Scott played at Virginia, so he's a Virginia fan, and Virginia, I think, played a game against Purdue in the tournament not that long ago, so Mike Scott definitely watched that game. But then I realized I did, because I only was going to change it because I didn't want to repeat myself, but I already said Mike Scott, so it didn't matter either way. Yeah. And then I was just realized it was taking too long, so I just went with it.
Great. Well, I'm glad we went into it. All right, this is it. This is the final game.
Oh, Dakota Matthias was born in Ohio. That's where I got Ohio from, in case anyone has wondered.
This is the final game. I think Emily goes first. Which Sixer? I pushed this question to the last because I like it the least, and I was hoping we didn't have to use it, but this is
great.
Which Sixer is most likely to write a mystery novel? I know, right. Not a great question. That's why it's seventh.
I am going to go with... Can I use Dakota Matthias? Can I use him?
Certainly.
Absolutely.
I'm going to go with him because he's going to really lean in. He's a mystery to us. And therefore, he's the most likely to write a mystery novel.
All right.
Oh, wow. This is good information, by the way. This is really bad content. But if we need someone to take over the Zaire role, this man had mono at Purdue and threw out before every practice. And by the time his health was better, he had two ankle injuries. This is our injury guy.
Oh, I love him already.
Wow. That's just big for next week. That's huge. Wow. All right. This is the new, bubble boy sort of guy. Great.
We found him.
Congratulations to Dakota. Dan, what is your answer?
Yeah, I'm going to use one of the new cards we have. And I think it's Dwight Howard. I think he's I would want to read his mystery novel more than I would want to read anyone else's mystery novel. Mm-hmm. I think that he's kind of a weird guy and very unpredictable and might just decide to try something for the hell of it, whether or not he's good at it. I think that Tobias and Matisse read too much nonfiction to ever write a mystery novel. They're the guys you think of as your book guys, your book lovers. But I think Dwight Howard is probably has a lot of creative thoughts in his head and is going to turn it into a very good nonfiction mystery novel that may or may not make sense, but is a must read.
I have to say, I think the Dwight Howard answer seals it. I think that
I do too. It's a good one.
Dan wins.
I would
this
give
round.
It to Dan also.
Dan wins this round of the most likely game. Dwight Howard would definitely write a novel under a weird other name. And
what would Dwight Howard's
it.
Pen name be? What would his pen name be?
Chad Stapleton, something weird. I don't know.
To Howard White.
Write in if you're listening at home and you have an idea on that. That's it. I think we got to everything. We did a spirited most likely game. It's great to Dan.
Sixers are not signing Austin Rivers. He just signed with the Knicks.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. I kind of didn't want Doc's son and his sort of son both on the team. I thought that was
son-in-law.
Yeah, that's what that means.
And his sort Emily, of not son. Everyone's engaged. We don't know all the terms, all right?
Brag about
I thought those were common terms. Okay.
Sure. Common to you and Tobias, maybe. All right. Good seeing you both. Happy Thanksgiving. I hope you guys
have
a good one.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving. Bye, guys.
We'll talk to you guys next week.